As we decrease, Father God, you increase in this house, God. We thank you, God, for an opportunity, Lord, just to be in your house, God, to be breathing, to have life, Lord. And God, we thank you that you're an exceedingly and abundant God, Father God, that nothing's too big for you, Lord. Don't think whatever you're dealing with is too big for God tonight, amen? And whatever it is, nothing's too small either, let me tell you. Amen? So make sure you hear and listen and obey tonight. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Let's welcome Bruce up here. Bruce Hines. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hello, Sedalia. Hello. And maybe outer regions. Four churches, huh? Yeah. That's cool. That's impressive. How are you guys tonight? Good. Amen. Are you guys ready for some old-fashioned gospel? Yeah. I want to talk to you guys tonight about what the apostolic message was. So I do have a couple announcements, and I think I'm ready now. For those that are interested in doing the works of Christ, or you may know it as healing and or deliverance, there's a flash drive back there, and on the flash drive, I wrote a book on healing and deliverance together. It's a two-part book. And then on that flash drive, I have a 353 or 57 or whatever it was, deliverance manual. And then I think about it's 52 weeks. So it's a whole year. And then there's 26 weeks on divine healing. And it's biblical healing. And it's a little more in depth than the things that I've read from all the faith healers back from Smith Wigglesworth on. You know, I am a big follower of Catherine Kuhlman and Benny Hinn and Smith Wigglesworth and T.L. Osborne and Lester Summerall and all those guys. When people look at my library in my office, they think I'm a revivalist. good to see you, bro. But anyway, so that, both flash drives, so that right there, once I publish it next month, it will be $100. Today it's $50 on the flash drive. And then there's another flash drive that has corporate curse breaking. The very same things that Fred does and the material that I gave him. There's spiritual warfare training. What is spiritual warfare and how to train for spiritual warfare? Then there's divine healing. It's a little more classical, just to let everybody know that I still believe in the church fathers of the last 150 years, all the way to Amy Semple to Maria Woodworth Utter. Curses and epigenetics, how curses affect your genetics and how it does things to trigger disease. Most doctors call it hereditary stuff, but it's deeper than that. And then I threw in a couple ones for free. Seal, what are the seals, what are the trumpets, and what are the bowls? And when does it take place? The playing out of the book of Revelation. You know, there's seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls, and when do the seals, when does the bowls, and when does the trumpets, when does all that trigger? And then I copied the March 2006 deliverance conference for that. So there you have it. Here, Fred, please. There you have it. It's, I don't know, probably cost $300 or $400 if you buy it from Amazon. And then I know nobody in this room needs this, but my wife wrote a book. God was speaking to her about, you know, unlocking abundance. It's basically biblical finance. It's not like a biblical finance. My wife and I are not traditional. You're not going to buy a repeat of some of the things that you've read, and we just recycled their material. It's there's breaking financial curses in here, how to release financial blessing, all God's way, unlocking abundance. So who in here needs finances? Your first hand I saw go up. Okay, praise God. Are you ready? Are you ready to hear the apostolic gospel? You know, when the apostles preached the gospel, the Spirit of God bore witness to the gospel. And sometimes it's just going back to the simplicity of understanding what the Bible or the message of Jesus was imparted to the apostolic leaders and how they preached Christ crucified, bodily resurrected, ascended, glorified, ruler of all. That's the short version. And from that, the Bible will go through and tell you that you are in Christ, Christ is in you. And on Sunday morning, I'm going to talk to you about what does it mean to have Christ in you. It's a message out of Romans 8, probably one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible. It is amazing the secrets of what God wants to release through you. We're used to being in church. We're used to, you know, fellowshipping and things like that. And that's, we should do all that. But how about becoming supernatural? You have the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. How about being supernatural? We're in this walk to do the works of Christ. And the Bible says, and even
greater works shall we do.
Even greater works shall we do. It means we multiply. Same thing, but it's more multiplication. Okay? So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read about what Peter says the gospel message is. Okay. Now, Vicki, do I push the right or I push the down button? Right? Right.
Right.
That's Texan. Okay. Missourian. Oh, by the way, oh my goodness. Donna? No? Joy. Joyce. Joyce said, you know, I can't find that. You know, remember why I said it was T.L. Osborne's book, Healing the Sick? It's not on 157 or 159. It's on 153. That's not bad for 10 or 12 years since I picked that book up. All right. Say amen while you're there. That's it. Okay, here we go. Men of Israel, I'm reading now the 1984 NIV version. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourself know, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, hallelujah, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Okay, so let me just stop there just for a second because this is not in my notes. Death is because of sin. Sin because of the devil. The more that we embrace our freedom, the more that we embrace the likeness of Christ, let me just make it a little bit more simple, the more that we embrace the likeness of Christ and the nature and character of Christ, the less sin can touch us. It's true. It's true. I saw the Lord going on. I saw the Lord always before me, talking of David. This is about David. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will always live in hope. That means in expectation. I live in expectation because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You have filled me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. Now, I just had another thought. This right here, because Jesus was God incarnate, completely sinless, death could not hold him, the grave couldn't hold him, he was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was not abandoned through that whole thing. He was never completely abandoned, and nor did his body see decay. The more that we experience the resurrection life of Christ, the less we age better. It's true. We age better. We feel better. We have less medical conditions. Why? Because the life of Christ is inside of us is affecting our body. You may know it as the presence of the Holy Spirit, but he was sent through Christ to the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit. It was the Father's plan from the beginning. The last paragraph, at least on my notes here. God had raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalting to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, who has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Got to pause one more time. Sorry. The more that you experience the ascended life, or you may know it in the words of the age to come, the more the enemy becomes your footstool. Just think of the fruit of the Spirit. How can the enemy penetrate the fruit of the Spirit? It's impossible, because that is the character of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Peace rules. Jesus says, I leave you peace. Not peace is the world, but the shalom. The shalom. The peace of God. The more we experience the life of Christ, the more we interact in the life of Christ. I told you this is old-time gospel tonight. Okay? And tomorrow night too. We're going to talk about the blood and everything. The more we experience this, the more that we seem, our life settles down, our children settle down, everything starts to settle down. It's true. All right. Love them kids out there. They're going to bring in some people here. Let me finish this real quick. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and God. My first point is they preach Jesus as Lord and Christ. Lord of all and Christ the Redeemer. It's a powerful theme that goes through. We may know it in realms of redemption, salvation, however you may know that. But in Acts 22 through 36, I put down on the screen for you to write down other scriptures that help bring that passage more life. How you can see it from a different light. It's amazing that they could preach just a simple message but receive such a powerful display of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Why? Because Jesus defeated, like I told you last night, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Or a better way to look at it is he defeated this evil age. And he was the firstborn or the first one that ushered in the age to come. The first one to usher in the age to come. And so the church is no longer living and trying to exist in this evil age. The power of the church is in the age to come that belongs to us since the resurrection of Christ. Since the resurrection of Christ. That is the secret of the power that the church needs to tap into. We need to look more about how Jesus did things. How could Jesus walk among a religious group, a sinful group, all kinds of all other groups, sickness, disease, demons, and all of that. How could he walk among all of that? And at times he wanted to be tossed off the cliff. Other times, storms. All the different things that it didn't bother him. Oh, come on, church. There's a greater message than just the cross to this. There's victory over everything. The church needs to put on a different lens. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, 16, 17. You go, I'm telling you, the power of the gospel. Paul says the gospel is the power of God. What he's saying is the message of the gospel can bring such power to your life that you can speak. Okay, I got some of you. When you look at Acts 22, let's see if I got it, or Acts 2. When you look at Acts 2, 22 through 36 and the other scriptures I just had up there together, they proclaim that Jesus of Nazareth was approved by God. Approved by God. And it happened through mighty works. Crucified. Raised from the dead. Exalted as Lord and Christ. Sent to preach peace and reigns as the true King of all. There's a pattern here. Listen to this again. There's a pattern. First, God approved Jesus. He approved Jesus. And through that approval, God did mighty works. You're relating yourself to being in Christ and Christ in you, and you're approved. Raised from the dead. Now, he was physically and he was raised from the dead. So were we.
Amen. Resurrected.
Praise. So were we.
Amen.
You know what that means? The power of the new creation. The power of the new creation to do away with the old creation. Paul calls it the old man and the new man. There's a resurrected power when you became a Christian. When you became a Christian, you became a power unit. You became a piece of Jesus and the works of Jesus and the approval of Jesus. I was telling Pastor Jeff today, I came to Missouri to stir this church. To stir this church. And I'll push you and I'll push you to the brink of going, this guy is completely out there. But I'm going to preach the old-fashioned gospel the way I see it, the way I've experienced it, and the way it's working in me. It has made me a different person. Hopefully it's made you a different person. When I got saved, within 8 months, God had me casting out demons. I didn't know any better. I didn't know any better. All I know was when I got saved, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I was flat out scared. Scared. I said a prayer at the end of the Benny Hinn book, and bang. And then things, God, I didn't know that I felt this love, this love that was beyond anything that I could ever explain or feel. And it was so deep, and it just touched my heart in such a way, I was driven to spend time in the presence. And from that presence, probably within a day or less, I kept having this thought, go to your closet and look on the back of the shelf. Well, I didn't know my mom hid a Bible in my apartment.
That's a
25 years, sister. She was on bended knee. And she wasn't believing what she was seeing. She was just believing. And I grabbed that Bible and it said, New King James Version. I go, what is that? But it said Bible. So I said, okay, it's a Bible. I didn't know there was different versions. The power of the new creation. Even from the time the Spirit of God entered my life, I was starting to get direction and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. This is available. I'm not anybody special. I'm loved just like you're loved. The thing is, will we surrender? Will we surrender? Let me give you this. I wrote this down. Remember, I talked about what to do after your miracle tonight when you receive your miracle. There are 7 things that you need to do. I talked to you about it on Wednesday night. Number 1, return to give God glory. Go right out in that parking lot and sit there in that car and praise Him until you can't praise Him anymore. Exhaust yourself in praise. Giving thanks to the Father. The second thing is follow Jesus more closely. In other words, take the miracle to move you a step closer to Jesus. Every person that had a problem went to Jesus. Some of them had to stand far away because of ritual rites and so on and so forth. But you know what happened? After the miracle, they could come face to face. Third, guard the freedom you received. Don't return to your old life. Make the decision to do something a little bit different. A little, even if it's, let me just give you a couple ideas. I'm going to read my Bible 10 more minutes. And you go, well, Brother Bruce, that might sound religious. I don't care. Fall in love with the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to cause you to fall in love with the Word of God. If you ask anything according to His will, you will have it. You will have it. Renew your mind with truth. Renew your mind with truth. Let me just explain that a little bit. Here comes the slam of the enemy. Here comes the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. Build a life that supports wholeness. That's number six. Don't worry, you're the pastor. I'll let you have my phone in a minute. Just keep going like this, because. All right, I'll do this real quick. Number one, return to give God glory. Number two, follow Jesus more closely. Guard the freedom you received. Number four, renew your mind with truth. Number five, testify of what Jesus has done. Call somebody. Do something. Go to work and say. When I worked for the city of Arlington, I used to do bad things. I'd stop my crew, say, oh my goodness, the power of God here, who needs healing? We'd be out on the job and I'd pray for them and they'd get healed. Amen. I wasn't thinking about a meeting. I'm thinking God wants me to testify of the glory of God through healing. So I gotta say, hey, I'm gonna pray for you. God, I believe God's gonna heal you. And then after he did, go, oh man, this feels good. Hey, would you like to accept Christ? Hey, that's what the apostles did at times. Miracles unto salvation, or salvation unto miracles. It's never about the miracle. Okay, number six. Build a life that supports wholeness. Get things out of your life that cause problems. And that does not mean divorce your wife or your husband. That means have Jesus fix you. Instead of praying for them, pray for yourself. Fix me, Jesus. Right? We got issues, man. Come on, let's be real. And number seven, stay filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Look, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You say, well, how do I stay filled? Well, start practicing the presence. That's easy. That's an easy one. Well, how do I be led? There's this thing called unction, feeling, thoughts. That little voice inside, that little beep, 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 it keeps going like that until you respond. It just won't go away. Or, I don't know why, I just feel like I should open the book to Samuel, the Bible, open to Samuel. I don't know why I feel that. And then you just start reading. And you'll go, something on the inside will shift just a little bit. That's how you begin to be led. There's a little, with every decision you make, it makes it easier for the Holy Spirit to talk to you. Every decision. So do not be afraid to take a risk when you know it's safe. Okay. I don't know if I'm going to do very good with this clicker, Vicki. Vicki said, I'm going to give you the clicker. I go, you're going to give me the power? You're going to put power in my hand, the power of the click? God's purpose means his determined will. Is that up there? No. God's purpose means his determined will, saving plan, divine intention, to redeem humanity through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the plan. It's God's purpose. It's God's government. God wants to redeem all men. We just know. We know that from 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, I think. It's the will of God that all men be saved. But we know that not all will be saved, but all will hear the gospel in some form or fashion. I knew it. They declared that Jesus was rejected, betrayed. When I mean they, the apostolic message, rejected, betrayed, crucified, and killed according to God's redemptive plan. They understood it. They began to understand when Jesus, and Peter couldn't wrap his mind around it. Peter would say, no, that should never happen to you. I'm paraphrasing. And then what happened? Jesus says, get behind me. Get behind me, Satan. It's a very interesting thought, because it's more than just Satan working through Peter's feelings and emotions and thought life. But it was challenging this age to come. And so when Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, he was basically saying something like this: take your rightful order in the creation. I'm above you. I'm above all. I'm the creator of all. We made God in likeness, or human. God made humanity in their likeness, but it was a we. It was the plural. There was that co-equalness. The cross was preached as the place where sin, guilt, and human rebellion were confronted through Christ. This is the problem. The gospel confronts the old person, and it challenges you to deal with it. There is no other way but through the cross. No other way. There's no other power that can defeat human sin, human rebellion, human guilt. We're guilty before God. But thank God for the cross. For the cross. The power to defeat what stands between us. If we understood this, really start to understand this, and start to experience this thing called sanctification, there's nothing this world can do. Now, I've been at places in my life where I've gone through trial and tribulation. And then, when things get really tough, when news is bad and things don't look so good on the outside, and I have these thoughts of just quit doing what you do. Quit praying for the sick. Quit casting out demons. Quit preaching the gospel, and I'll leave you alone. I go, how? I have these other thoughts. How can I do that? I've gone too far. I've seen too much. I've been transformed too much. I've been transformed too much. You can't see the power of God and not be transformed. In my younger days, I would say, I would just throw some California stuff at God. I said, God, you tripped me out. You are tripping. I'm blown, man. You know, I don't understand. In other words, in language, I don't understand. Hey, you know what? Just say anything as long as it's like God. Amen. You're just too much for me. Where am I? Oh, I passed that. Oh my goodness. Come here and grab this, please. I don't have the anointing to run that. There you go. I'll let Brother Jeff handle it.
Where are we at? Are we on three?
We are moving to three. They preach the resurrection of Jesus. When you look at these scriptures up on the screen, together they proclaim what God raised Jesus from the dead, defeating death, vindicating him as the Prince of Life. As the Prince of Life. And fulfilling the promises made to the fathers through the resurrection. What does it mean to vindicate Jesus as the Prince of Life? What is the theological idea behind this? That's not on the screen. The theological idea behind it is the resurrection publicly proved that Jesus was righteous, he was true, and he was fully approved by God. From that resurrection, the apostolic ministry experienced a realm that they had not seen. And what does the Bible actually say about that? Well, Jesus, in some glorified state, who knows what that is? I don't know that. I'll know that maybe in another 40 or 50 years when I'm 120. There you go. You heard that. I'll be 67 here in a day or two. But anyways, my point is that they would watch Jesus eat from some glorified state. They watched him, actually because of no sin, they watched him be transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration before the resurrection. That's how powerful the Christ in you is. That is one of my favorite messages, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I think that's Colossians 1:27 or somewhere close. We just don't understand. We don't understand because we don't experience it. I'm telling you, if you would just give the Holy Spirit 30 minutes of your day for a year, you will not be the same Christian. You will not be the same Christian. You can't soak in a realm and not have it saturate. One time I was soaking in the realm, and I got to a place in God where I felt my body was shifting on the inside. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, even my cellular structure is reacting to the Creator. Come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think that it's not this aging cream and things that the church needs. It's the presence of God. You want to look young at 100 and healthy? Soak. Okay. The resurrection was central to the apostolic preaching because it proved Jesus' victory over death. When he came out of that grave, they couldn't believe it. They had a hard time gripping what was happening. They went into that tomb and they go, he's not even here. Do you see what I'm saying is, I'm going to continue to beat this horse, I think. The power of the resurrection. In other words, they couldn't identify with what he is now because they were too used to what he was. And I think what happens is, sometimes we can't identify with the life to come, that age, the power of the resurrection, because we're too used to ourselves. We're too used to who we are today and not who Jesus is inside. And so we have to understand, we have to put this old man off and put on this new man. We have to do this. It's so powerful. They did not preach Jesus only as teacher or prophet, but as the living Christ raised by the power of God. They experienced, they saw with their eyes. They came into a revelation of who Jesus really was. It was more than the transfiguration, because they weren't able to grip the transfiguration, but because Peter wanted to build tabernacles for everybody. Let's just go back to the old life and let's build the old covenant. And Jesus said, nah, the old covenant is good, but the new covenant is eternal. It's not from this age. The old covenant. Okay, never mind about that. Number four, Pastor, please. They called people to repent and believe. Repent and believe. Okay, do not raise your hands. Who in this room repented before you walked in this meeting? I did. Don't raise your hands. What do I repent? I repent stuff like this. I still lack getting close to you. I'm close, but I'm not close enough. There's a desire to go deeper. There's a desire for more. So my thing is, I repent and I believe that that's coming. So I ask God to help me take what's standing between, and in my interpretation, take what's standing between me and you for this next level and remove it. Number four, are we? Yeah. Okay, when you take those scriptures together, they proclaim that God commands all people to repent. That means for eternal salvation, that word. It also, to turn to Him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive forgiveness of sin, and be refreshed from the presence. Now, there's a pattern here. When we repent for the things that we do, and we turn and no longer visit those things, and we believe in the Lord Jesus, in other words, we trust in Him and we trust the power in Him to just say no to evil and yes to good. When we trust that, we receive the forgiveness of sin. Now, I know everybody's thinking that sin goes away, right? It does. But I have something else in mind. We receive the power to sin no more in that area, possibly. I don't do the things I used to do. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I have not swore one word. I can't. So it feels like there's a knot in my throat. That's me. That might not be you. You might have something I don't. Do you understand what I just said? It's the power to change. Yes, power to overcome. How about this? Not only overcome, but a power to become.
Yes.
Because the power to overcome is the power to become.
Yes.
When you overcome things, you have become something new.
That's it.
Some of you have come from dark places. Now look at you. You become different. The apostles called people to turn from sin, unbelief, idolatry. But here's the one that caused me to write a book on the five deliverances in the book of Galatians. Self-rule. That is the biggest. Because we like ourselves. And we want our way. Now, I was sharing with you Wednesday night that the Holy Spirit says, you know, if you want to see the miracles and all the things that have been happening to me, you can't argue with your wife anymore. And then I shared with you that, you know, our argument is about a 3-minute disagreement. There's very little voice tone change. However, it's not that. It's the inward thing. I can't go inward on my wife anymore. I want the next level. I want to be more. I want to be like Christ. Whether the power comes out or not, Jeff, I want to be like... I am standing, I am blocking by just having feelings toward my wife that she's just not right. I'm standing between the love of God entering me in a new way. Because that is the power of change. Love is the greatest power of all. Love. So, how about this? Repentance was not treated as mere regret, but real turning of the heart, the mind, and life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That our heart, our heart is no longer captivated by the things of this world. Our mind doesn't meditate on the things of this world. And we experience a new life. Number five. Are you guys getting anything?
Yes.
Sometimes I think I over put it out there. But I can't help myself. Number five, they preach forgiveness of sins through Jesus. These scriptures proclaim that God exalted Jesus as Prince and Savior, granting repentance, forgiveness of sin, and justification to all who believe. Now you need to listen to this. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible mean by God exalted Jesus? It means God raised him to the highest place of honor. The highest place. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All to the glory of the Father. All because God exalted Jesus. It raised Jesus to the supreme authority of all. The supreme ruler of all. But here's the one I love. The supreme glory of all. The glory of God. The glory of God. I think of those places in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where the disciples, the soon-to-be apostolic ministry, would experience different realms of Jesus, like sleeping in a boat. And waking up and saying, peace, be still. Just the glory and the power and the rule and the honor that the creation has. All because Christ is in you. You have that same ability. And I think, how can the body of Christ do more works than what Jesus did? Is because we can go everywhere. I was thinking about Pastor Jeff's little seed thing, and I came to this conclusion that if God would hand out apples to every single person on the planet, each of us would receive 8. Right now. 8. It's crazy. It's crazy how the gospel, the power of the gospel. Now I hang out with a guy named Epilimanana. They call him the Benny Hinn of Spain. And he'll get into South America and he'll go into Africa and things like that. And 3 or 4 times he's told me, and I said, man, Epi, you're tripping me out, man. And there would be just seas of people, just like a Benny Hinn crusade, and just the miracles that take place. And then Epi says, you know, sometimes God just looks at the people and he says, you've lived in poverty long enough. And Epi says, what? And he says, tell everybody to get out their cell phones and hold them up. And then Epi would pray that God would give them finances. And these cell phones would just start bing, 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 bing. Can God do anything?
Yes.
Yeah. But to me, when I heard that, I was like, whoa. And then Epi said, it's no different than just telling one of the disciples to go to grab some money out of a fish's mouth. I thought, I can work with that. I can work with that. I haven't had that. I don't have that. But he's got like 14 people raised from the dead. And he said the first time the guy, he went over there thinking, okay, no problem. Or, you know, I'll pray and we'll leave. And the guy got up and scared him. He said he was, it shocked him. It scared him. I mean, come on. Right? Everybody's at a funeral. And you're going to walk up to a casket because God says, go over there. Seriously? How many Americans would do that? You got to have history with God to do something like that. Number 6. They preached the gift and power of the Holy Spirit. These scriptures, when you put them together, proclaim that believers receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, who empowers witness, confirms salvation, fills believers, and manifests God's power through the Spirit-given signs. There's a progression here. As you find out, there's always a lot of progression in the Gospels and in the Book of Acts. There's sequences to how God works. The very first thing is believers receive the Holy Spirit. Look what happened to Paul when he received the Holy Spirit. The second thing is, what did it do to Paul? After his eyes opened, he went and preached. Right? So you become a witness. The next progression is it also confirms your salvation. You come to a new awakening. I am saved and I am a believer and I'm going to live the Christian life. It fills the believer. At times, you know, you can have these infillings. I'm almost done. Hang with me. I'm almost done. You can have these infillings. You read about it in the Book of Acts, and they were all filled. Well, they were filled when they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But then it continues to say there was continual infilling. And you're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you, because they pursued the first infilling, more infillings came, deeper levels. You read the Bible, and it started out addition, and then all of a sudden, the Bible changes into multiplication of churches and people. There was mass production, not only in the individual life of the believer, but in the populace of the church. It went supercharged because of infilling. Laying and soaking in the presence of God is not just soaking in the presence of God. One day you will come out of that presence and you will feel, the first time I felt a new infilling, I had to go look in the mirror because I thought, you're going to laugh. I promise you, you're going to laugh. I felt like I was Arnold Schwarzenegger. I felt like I was big as this brother right here with them guns. And when I went to the mirror, I felt supercharged. And when I went to the mirror, I go, no comprende. I don't understand Jesus. I didn't know that my spirit was starting to outgrow my body. Uh-oh. You know, Jesus' spirit fills the world. You know, some of the Benny Hinn, he's on the way to a crusade. And his spirit's already filling. Now, we know it's the Holy Spirit. Yes. Right? But the Spirit, the anointing that's in him is the Spirit of God is doing everything. Don't misread me. Don't misread me. But what I'm saying is when you walk in the room, you can feel the presence of God. But then there's other people that walk in the room. And you go, whoa, what's this all about? Yeah. You know, and it's funny because people, to experience the realm that some people walk in, you have to get to know them, or you have to like what they want, like they what they have. You have to like it. You have to desire it. Everybody liked Jesus. Well, not everybody, but, you know, the people that were pursuing, the ones he called disciples when he'd say, follow me, and then even more followed him. So, anyways, I don't want to go down that road. The Holy Spirit empowered the witness, produced boldness, gave gifts, and made the gospel visible through supernatural demonstration. These scriptures here in number 7 together show that the risen Jesus healed the sick and restored the lame through his servant, confirming the gospel with signs, wonders, and public ministry. And then Acts 14:3 says this, the Lord bore witness to the word of his grace by granting signs and wonders. So healing showed that the risen Jesus was working through his servants by the Holy Spirit. The lame walked, the sick were healed, the physical restoration became a public witness and authority. A public witness and authority. And my last point tonight is this, number 8. It also demonstrates that the gospel brings deliverance. The gospel through deliverance. It shows that the gospel was demonstrated through deliverance of unclean spirits, healing of the sick. I'm thinking right now, it's not up there, but I'm thinking of Philip in Samaria. Freedom from spiritual bondage, extraordinary miracles, Paul in Acts. Paul got to a place in the book of Acts, chapter 19, where it says he would do extraordinary miracles. Now watch this, watch this. It got to a place where the anointing was so strong on Paul that that handkerchiefs that he touched would be carried out and territory miracles would take place. Territory miracles. Could you imagine the presence of God so strong where one day Liberty Life, pastor says, I want everybody that is part of Liberty Life to bring a handkerchief. Now, you can't just do this. You have to have that type of operation already in the house. But once it starts in the house, it's time to go. It's time to go. So what we do is we have what we call handkerchiefs. I'll show you my handkerchief. It's right here. Call somebody sick right now. You want to do that tonight? Let's do it tonight. And I always say, go stand by the kitchen sink or sit down in a chair. Because you're about ready to get wrecked. In the New Testament, it means the gospel was demonstrated. The message of Jesus was not only spoken with words, but also openly through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then my two things up there, the apostles and evangelists confronted demonic bondage through the name and the authority of Jesus. And deliverance showed that the kingdom of God was overthrowing the kingdom of darkness and setting captives free. More a better word for I like is heaven had come to earth. Seriously. A different realm. Something completely different. Who needs healing in your body tonight? Everybody, well, we can go home. I got one person to pray for. You want to stand up? That's great. Stand up. Okay. All right. Before I pray for you, I want you, you may have already forgiven 165 times. Make it 166. Make it one more. But this time, I want you to think about what that person did to you. And I want you to, worship team, would you just start from the beginning and go to the end? Because I don't know what you guys had going on tonight, but that was something else. That was fantastic. Please. Go to that place where, go to that place of grinding where it bothers you. And forgive from there. Forgive from that place. Okay? Do that. And just say, Jesus, I forgive him. I feel it. I forgive him. And remove it. Heal me. Heal me.